Well, good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. It's been about 3 years since I moved from Edmonton to Calgary, and although I have attended a church in Calgary through this time, I very much miss sitting in the midst of these followers of Jesus in this church. I follow First Baptist Church online on Sundays, so I have missed Evan the past few links, like my link was broken. For those who don't know me, my name is Kathy Brown, and I have participated in the life of this church for several years now. I was and am still on the team that writes prayers and litanies for Sunday services, and I am grateful to be part of such a team. I am a chaplain, now called a spiritual health practitioner at an acute care hospital in Calgary. Having done my studies here in Edmonton amongst many of the spiritual health practitioners that have worshipped here in the past, and also those who currently worship here. This community at FBC is a community that, in my view, fosters sanctuary and formation for those of us in hospital and community ministry. It's a place of rest, a place of peace. But now, let's get down to it. How many of you here have experienced, like I have, the struggles, the yo-yos, the ups and downs of dieting? Oh my, let me count the ways. Let me count the diets. There's low-fat, high-carb, high-fat, low-carb, Atkins, ketogenic, carnivore, low FODMAP, paleo, Mediterranean, vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, flexitarian, gluten-free, intermittent fasting, and that really is not the entire list. Diets for weight loss, diets to help with high cholesterol, diets to help with high blood pressure, diets for maintaining muscle mass, diets for longevity, diets for diabetes control, diets to reset your microbiome. That's a new one I've studied a little bit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And everyone seems to have an opinion about what works best for everybody else. But it really kind of sticks in my craw when someone says to me something like, just take in less calories than you expend. The caloric deficit approach. Oh, gee, thank you very much. I never thought of that. If only it were that simple. And to be honest, and I'm being pretty vulnerable here, this is how Paul's instructions in the book of Ephesians strike me sometimes. Don't live unwisely, just live wisely. Don't be foolish, understand the will of the Lord. Don't get drunk, be filled with the Spirit. Oh gee, thanks so much, Paul. Should I make that switch right now? If only it were that simple. It seems like very black and white advice to me, where I think a lot of my life is spent in the gray. Is there just wise or unwise and nothing else in there? Foolish or understanding the will of the Lord? Getting drunk or being filled with the Spirit and nothing else? In this day and time and culture, I struggle with this dualistic verbiage that's here. There is so much dualistic thinking today. And so as I've been thinking about this passage over the last month, I've been working hard to figure out what God is trying to say to me and through me with this passage. But you know, the Lord seemed to throw me a little bone, or at least a little enlightenment, I hope, as I read through the other passages in the lectionary to pick out one for the first reading. Now, the last verse of that reading, and this might be a slightly different translation, but the last verse of that reading was 1 Kings 2:14. This is God, after committing to Solomon that he would grant him wisdom and discernment, along with wealth and honor. He says to Solomon, and I quote, "And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." What do you think when you read that or hear that? My thought was, whoa, wait a minute. Was it not David who forced himself on Bathsheba? David who then killed her husband Uriah? David who knew his son Amnon raped his sister Tamar and did nothing about it? David who took a census against God's will, which resulted in tens of thousands of people dying? What is this about David walking in obedience to God, keeping his decrees and commands? But if we look a little further up in that passage, in verse 6, Solomon speaks of David as having walked before God with uprightness of heart towards God. In other parts of Scripture, David is spoken of as having integrity of heart, or uprightness of heart. And I wonder if this heart stance is really what moves God. The desire and the effort to do the right thing, the godly thing. And as Ryan pointed out last week, we simply can't do it perfectly all the time. And David was no exception. And nor was Paul. Take a little biblical jaunt through Romans 7, where you will hear Paul say, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Solomon shows the same desire as his father by asking for discernment in governing God's people, wanting to do the right thing. And it is clear that God is pleased with Solomon's request, his heart stance toward God. But we know what happens with Solomon, don't we? A great start, but not so good at the finishing line, with something like 700 wives and 300 concubines, whose idols Solomon came to serve instead of his own God, which had a consequence of the splitting of the kingdom of Israel. Solomon's story is often taught as a lesson about the importance of finishing well, which he did not do. In both of these kings' stories, father and son, we can see that there is capacity for sin and for righteousness within the same persons. However, one ended well and the other quite poorly. Why? There's a story that I've heard a few times, maybe even here, and it is about an old Cherokee man who once told his grandson, "My son, there is an endless battle that goes on inside of us. It is between two wolves. One wolf is bad. He is anger, envy, regret, greed, arrogance, resentment, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the grandfather replies, as we all know, "The one you feed." First Baptist Church, Ephesians 5:15 through 20, advises us to walk with wisdom. What does this look like? How do we feed the good wolf as a community? Be careful how we live. Live wisely with an uprightness of heart, a heart turned toward God. First thing, make the most of the time. So we participate with local organizations to seek the peace and well-being of this city. We also partner with organizations around the province as well as internationally as we make the most of our time. We have groups within the church, like the youth group and the friendship circle on Tuesdays. We have retreats and congregational meals, like the picnic that's coming up next week, to forge our bonds of Christian community. We have book studies and Bible studies. Check out news and notes, if you haven't done so, for some of the ways that we make the most of our time as a congregation, as a part of the body of Christ. If you don't get news or notes in your email, check with one of the staff here and they'll get you on the list. Second, understand the will of the Lord. We went through a process, a very careful discernment process over the last few years, which led us to explore a future home, or a current home now, with the Canadian Association for Baptist Freedoms. We prayed and reflected together as a community, and will continue to do so as we grow into other relationships, for instance, with the Alliance of Baptists. Three, be filled with the Spirit. One commentator I read suggested that the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This church is clearly filled with the Spirit. And finally, be thankful. David wrote about half the Psalms. Check them out. He is constantly giving thanks to the Lord. David fed the good wolf. Let us do the same. Finally, I would like to sing a little song, and if you know it, please join in. Let's raise our voices together and fill this place with a joyful melody to the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in